you'd open with me on the Spirit-filled life, we're going to hit from verses 15 to 21. We're going to try to get the context of the passage. We have a tendency of grabbing hold of our conversation or discussion regarding the Spirit-filled life focuses on the spiritual gifts, primarily speaking. We tend to limit his work in other ways, but there is a bigger context, some specific teaching to build them up and to draw them closer to himself. And we want to see three things about the Spirit-filled life. How do we identify? First point is, the Spirit-filled life is marked by wisdom. By wisdom. The Bible tells us that, he says here in verse 15, therefore, be careful how you walk in love. If you come back to chapter 4, the beginning of chapter 4, Paul writes, some of us have to wait a moment because God is doing some things in our life, and others, he's pushing them forward in a Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, because we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. We have the source of wisdom available to us. So now we are able to think, to speak with, and to live by the wisdom of God. This wisdom doesn't come from ourselves. This wisdom doesn't come from any book except the Word of God. This wisdom doesn't come from some philosophy outside of Christianity and His Word. This philosophy or this wisdom is not what man has, because we can be very wise in some things, but the wisdom he's talking about is a spiritual, supernatural wisdom that God has given to us in which we are able to walk a pattern that is for his honor and his glory. So he says, and I would dare say, it's for all of us, but young people, take note of this. You're starting out on your journey in adulthood. Start by taking wise steps. Some of you are starting your family, or have started your family, you have little ones. Take wise steps. There will be things that you may have to sacrifice for the sake of wisdom, for the sake of providing for your spouse, for providing for your children, for providing for a healthy environment for you to raise your kids. Now, you know, we can say we can think what we want about these 600 plus women who are in home, are in addiction, who were there yesterday. But I can't believe all of them came from bad homes. I don't know the percentages. I don't even want to know the percentages. I'm not even going to try to get the percentages. But somewhere along the path, somewhere along the line, decisions were made. Now, lest we think they're in worse shape than us because we have a home, we have a spouse, we have children, we have a job, we are accountable, doesn't mean that we are making wise decisions. Because when we make decisions based on wisdom, is it the wisdom that comes from God and His Word? Do we ever venture to say, what does God say about this? Or have I consulted the Word? Or, do I rely on other people? Now, the issue of godly counsel is available. But is this godly counsel based on God's Word? He says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. Now, I remember being a young man, a real young man, and I remember thinking I had a lot of time. I remember thinking that when I first started the post office in 1977, I calculated my retirement date as 2012. That's the day I could retire, the year I could retire. And I remember contemplating and thinking, I don't know if I'm going to make it that long. Man, that's a long time. How am I going to stay in this job? 35 years is what I had to work. How can I? And 2012 is what? 7 years ago. Time flies. But none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. The goal of the Christian is not to get to retirement age and take it easy. The goal of the Christian is to make an impact every single day. And some days we make impact simply by staying the course. Because guess what? Consistency is powerful. I try not to talk about myself, except when I make blunders or fall or do something foolish. But I had a phone call about 3 weeks ago from a friend in the old neighborhood, and who's having some difficult times. And he says, you know, I didn't know who to talk to. My sister finally convinced me to talk with you. And it's because they have seen, not very up close, but they've seen some consistency that I'm available to talk with. I'm available to encourage. I'm available to give them a God perspective on things. Walk wisely, because your days will start to fly, and before you know it, you're going to look back and you're at your 20-year reunion from high school. You're at your 30-year reunion from high school. You're at your 40-year reunion from high school. This week, Sarah and I will be celebrating 44 years of marriage. Never in my wildest dreams did I think she's going to put up with me that long. But it's a God thing. Consistency bears out the wisdom and the wise walk you take. Not a wise... A wise acre, I guess, is what they used to call it. I can't use the words we would use, but forget that. We'll go somewhere else. I can't even find an alternative that other than some audio talk. The wisdom we have is to encourage and to help guide our lives and to help guide others down that path and to walk in that direction. To make an impact, there was a clip. I don't know if you ever saw the TV show West Wing. And Leo was the chief of staff, and he was talking to one of the junior staffers. And he tells a story about a guy who fell in a hole with very steep walls where he couldn't climb out. And he saw a man passing by who happened to be a lawyer. And the lawyer wrote a note and threw it down at him. Then he saw a priest go by. Hey, Father, can you help me? He wrote a prayer and threw it down him. And then he saw a friend. Hey, Bob. Can you help me? And Bob jumped in the hole. And the guy says, are you an idiot? Now we're both stuck down here. He said, look, I've been down here before, and I know how to get out. We've been down some holes in our lives, haven't we? And we know how to get out of those holes because of Christ. Are we ready to jump in the hole with somebody to help them walk out, to journey out, to get out of that mess? Friends, this is what he's talking about. If we're in the Spirit-filled life, we're walking wisely. If the wisdom that we walk by is not simply to avoid difficult situations, but to help others journey through the difficulties, it's to be able to take them through. He says, be careful how you walk. Don't trip over yourself. That's not an idea of don't jump in the hole to help a friend. You know, in my years, and believe it or not, when I used to jog, it wasn't the big rocks that I tripped over. It wasn't the big cracks in the concrete. It was always those little pebbles or those little cracks that somehow would twist my ankle on, or I would trip over. Be careful how you walk. More so now as I've aged. As you get older, you shuffle more. You guys notice that? You shuffle more. You don't pick your feet up and walk. And when you shuffle, you tend to be careful how you walk. Because he says, not as unwise, but as wise. Be intentional in your steps. Be intentional in the direction you're headed. Be wise in that. I was talking to a few of the men this morning. You know, in geometry, when you're off a couple degrees at the angle down here at the beginning, it's not very noticeable. But it starts to show itself as you go down the road, as you take that line from that angle, you eventually begin to see how off mark you are. And when you see yourself off mark, you make adjustments. This past week, I was cutting some risers or stair stringers for my for some stairs that I had to replace. I don't know how guys can just cut so straight with their. I'm going with the circular saw, and I'm going. I had to back up because the blade is binding. Because I'm trying to force it at an angle, it's not going, and it's just a mess. I couldn't get that straight line straight. Finally, I changed saws. That's the saw's fault, not my fault. Change the saw, and finally, I said, "Oh, knucklehead, fault. Use the guide up there and just go." And God helped me finish the stairs, and they're stable, they're strong. They don't always look that great, but they're strong. And I know they're strong because I got on and I jumped a little. Verse 17. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Friends, this encapsulates, the will of the Lord encapsulates wisdom. Because when we understand what the will of the Lord is, now it's not just an understanding to know what it is, but it's an understanding so we can do. It's an understanding so we can practice. It's an understanding so we can follow through. Because it's very easy for us to sit back and say, oh, I know how to do that. But if we never put it into practice, ¿para qué sirve? What good is it? Where are we going with it? Understand the will of God. And this is the mark of a spirit-filled life, in that we are taking the right steps, the wise steps that are in the will of God, because ultimately that brings glory to God. So the mark of the spirit-filled life is one of wisdom. Now, are you living your life wisely? That's a question you need to ask. Second thing we see here is the spirit-filled life is yielded to God. Yielded. You know what yield is? They put a roundabout over where Alan Kena lived. You know what a roundabout is? You see it in some of the European countries where they have these big monuments in the middle, and you go around, and there's different chutes where you can get off. You can go around and get off. Well, on a roundabout, the ones in the circle have the right of way. To enter into the circle, you have to yield. Well, being Southern Californians, we don't know how to yield. Because if you ask Alan Keene, I'm sure they've heard a lot of skid marks, a lot of brakes applied, and a lot of horns going off. Because people don't know how to yield. Once you're in the circle on a roundabout, you have the right of way. Everybody must yield to you. Friends, in life, we all want our way, right? When you come to a four-way stop, who has the and you all come together, who has the right of way? You sure? Yeah, well, I'm with Henry. It's me. Right? Let me make a true confession. When I see the car on the right coming to the stop, and we should stop almost at the same time, I stop 10 feet short, so I stop first. So I'm the one who has the right-of-way, because I got there, and I made a complete stop before they did, so I have the right-of-way, right? Technically, yeah. I stopped at the intersection first. But if the police saw me, I'd be the one getting the ticket because the person on the right goes first. Sarah took a picture and put it on Facebook. There is a God in heaven. My husband's yielding the right of way to somebody else. She got a picture of me letting somebody cut in on me. And I have to confess, my sinfulness appears in my driving habits. It just does. I have to confess. I'm not bragging about it. Yielding is not part of our nature for some of us. Here, we are to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Now, let me read verse 17. And the context of being Spirit-filled, and this is what we take out of context, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what we see? what a lot of people see, thou shalt not drink wine. But it says, and let me say this. This is not the full discussion on whether or not a Christian should drink or a Christian should abstain. Okay, we're not going to deal with that full context today. We don't have time. I'm trying to deal with the filling of the Spirit. Because I believe when we are filled with the Spirit, we recognize what we should and shouldn't be doing. What you and I are and aren't supposed to do. But there are two commands in this verse. Two direct commands. Don't be drunk, be filled. Lest you think you have an escape hatch. Well, I don't drink wine, so that doesn't apply to me. You can't use that. Even if you drink beer or whiskey or tequila or whatever you drink. The idea here is don't be under any influence other than the Spirit. All right? We can be in lust, drunk in so many ways, under the influence of a force outside of the Holy Spirit. Now, the idea here is not just about being sober, being submitted to, yielded to the Spirit's work. So you can easily say, I don't drink, but are you yielded to the Spirit? Well, and we're going to show some signs of what it is to be yielded to the Spirit. I want us to walk away clearly with this. Be drunk, but be filled. Okay? We'll talk in a moment what being filled is. He says here, in the context of wisdom, be filled with the Spirit. Don't do this, but do this. Let us live our lives by don't do this, and we fail to, but do this. We live by the thou shall nots. Now, there are thou shall nots, but there are also thou shall. There are the don't do this, but do this. And we usually measure our spiritual maturity by what we don't do and not by what we do. This is a battle of the flesh against the Spirit. Remember what the scriptures say? The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We must yield ourselves to the Spirit's leading. Intoxicated, we lose control of ourselves. Leading of the Holy Spirit. Not the age, not the wisdom of the age, but under the Holy Spirit leading. Yield yourself here. Because I'll tell you, when we yield ourselves here, these things begin to be very obvious of what we shouldn't be doing when we're yielded here to the Spirit of God. Proverbs 20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated is not wise. Every Christian is indwelt, baptized, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Unless he is also filled with the Spirit, he will live weakness, slowness, frustration, and defeat. Paul is saying here, obey the commands, live by convictions. Obey commands and live by your convictions. The problem is that we make our convictions God's commands. The convictions that I have, everybody else needs to live by them. What is the command? Let's obey the command. People live by convictions. They take his commands, his principles, and they lay out a path, a habit for them to live by. Which is great, which is important. Told you about the pastor. He stopped playing softball because when his church played another church in Texas, his competitive spirit got the best of him and he had a fist fight with the other pastor. He put his glove down, walked away, said, never playing. I know people who don't have televisions in their home. You know, I don't even want to admit how many we have in our house, whether they're good or not, usable or not. Some people won't go to the movie house. They won't go to the theater. You know, Sarah and I went to go see this old Stallone movie. It was about him reconnecting with his son. It was about arm wrestling. Over the top. And we went, and we're sitting there. After the movie ends, I see a friend, Armando. He went to another church. And he went like pale like a ghost. Because he attended a church that they were told not to go to the theater, not to go to the movies. And he saw me there, and he's like, oh no, I'm caught. I said, Armando, relax, take a deep breath. I'm here watching the same movie you are. I'm not here to judge you. And all of a sudden, oh, okay. But there are some churches, you can't go to the theater. There's some churches, they will not have an event or encourage their people to go to the beach. And that's fine. But we can't equate convictions with commands. We need to understand the difference. We will take this discussion about alcohol and all that on a Wednesday night, somewhere in the near future. I would say we would do it at our Q&A this Wednesday, but I won't be here. I'll be out of town. And so this is important, though. We can't shy away from it. We can't ignore it. But again, we obey commands and live with our convictions. Unless, of course, you can't force your convictions on others unless they're your children. And even if adult children are living with you, you have rules in the house. But the reality is, what are the commands? Let's take the commands, let's live the commands. And if I need to build convictions in order for my sake, then I will. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. One last verse about this. He says, 1 Corinthians 6 says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. I want you to walk away with that verse when you think about alcohol. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. What's mastering your life? Is it the Holy Spirit, or is it something else? Because if it's not the Holy Spirit, then it's an idol, right? What's mastering your life? Who's master in your life? Is it the almighty dollar? Is it TV? Is it sports? Is it proliferation of prescription drug abuse? Okay. Drug abuse is going wild, rampant. Crystal meth, I mean, the riverbed is inundated with people living there because they have no other place to live because of their crystal meth addiction. A couple friends, they have churches that are down there ministering to the people down there. It is horrible. But we take some steps to make some foolish decisions, going back to the wisdom. Make the wise decision so you don't find yourself caught in sin's grip. The third thing we want to see here, the Spirit-filled life in action. Look at verse 19 to 21. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. I guess I'm out, right? I can't sing. But wait a minute. It doesn't say you have to sing in tune. It doesn't say you can't sing if you're not tone deaf, if you're tone deaf. He says, speaking to one another. Part of the evidence of being Spirit-filled is how you will speak to others, how your heart will show, and how you will live your life. Let me finish reading. Verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Okay? Three aspects to this. An inward expression, an upward expression, and an outward expression. All right? Just bear with me on that. As we think about ourselves, look at verse 19. We're to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So as you come into church on Sundays and you sing, are you singing from your heart to the Lord? And in doing so, you're blessing the people around you. Do you sing songs? What songs do you sing? You know, I sing to Oliver and Elliot, and they like it. They don't know any better yet, but they like it. Yeah. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Or the other one that Oliver likes to sing. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Or the rap version. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. The idea is to sing a song to your children. A song of praise, a song of worship, a hymn, a good song. We got enough junk, okay, that's a word, out there. With the lyrics that are not, I would not want my mom to hear those lyrics. And yet, bam, we catch on those songs. Teach your kids some songs. Speak some songs in our conversations with each other. I'm not against any conversations that we have that are about sports, about work, about family, about that. But are we ever interjecting what God is teaching us, what God is doing? Are we ever quoting verses to one another? Are we ever sharing what we've learned from God's word? Do we ever talk about the message and how it impacted you? Not how I blew it or how I made a mistake, but how you can encourage each other and build each other up with it. That's what your life has. Edification coming out of our mouth, building up, the desire to encourage, the desire to... Or all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. Father. Only when we're in trouble, or only when he steps in. I remember I had a rental car. I was coming on Whittier Boulevard, just inside of Norwalk. The guy in front of me slammed on his brakes. And I heard the guy behind me skidding. And I hit my brakes. My car, the rear end of the car went up. I hit him so hard. The guy in front of me hit another car. The guy behind me got hit by another car. But I was in the middle. Scratch free. We're here at Economy. Man, thank you, Jesus. God, when you wake up in the morning, and when you're young, it's no big deal. But when you get older, you're like, thank you, Jesus, I'm awake. I woke up this morning. So there's the inward, which you're singing melodies from your heart. Because out of the abundance, the heart speaks, right? And we're living gratefully. We live gratefully by not abusing or misusing what he's given us. And then there's the outward expression, verse 21. Be subject to mutual accountability. And catch where that verse stands. That verse 4, he talks about husband and wife relationships and the children. He says, be subject to one another, fear of the Lord. In other words, watch out for each other. Listen to each other. Work together with each other. Where they have a 2x4 with ropes, and you got four people there, and each one have their ropes, and they have one for each foot, and they have to walk in harmony. They have to walk in unity. And it's always fun to see the first. It takes a bit to get into sync. Now, if you're on a band or a worship team or something, you know the importance of having all the instruments in sync. Friends, are we living in sync with each other? Do we recognize that there's roles? We'll talk about it next week, about roles, husbands and wives. God has given specific roles so that there's harmony, superior and who's of lesser value. No, no, no. Because in Christ, we are equal. But God has given us roles to have, to fulfill. Just as the Trinity has unity, so a marriage and a home should have unity. Because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have different roles, but they're all God and they're all equal. And they are working together in the same direction. But the problem comes, like it says in James chapter 4, what is the source of conflicts and quarrels among you? Is it not your pleasures that wage this? Is not the source your pleasures that wage wars? I want my way. I want to be first. I want, or... mine. And like when we tell Elliot no, then it's a major production. T tears and screams and all this stuff. But a tantrum, right? We slam doors. We're not in harmony. And this is what he's saying. If you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to walk with wisdom. Say, what's the best way to deal with this? How can I, let me be not under the influence of anything of the world, but yield it to your Spirit who gives me the right influence to apply this wisdom and now help me to live in harmony with those around me. Because everybody has a role to fulfill. Everybody has a job to do. And when we work together in harmony and unity, we see this. Because Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, he says, do not merely look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Don't be selfish. Don't be greedy. Don't be stingy. Work together. Hold each other accountable. Help each other. Strengthen each other. And sometimes push each other up the road. Paul ends his last chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says that you also be in subjection to such men and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. Fulfill your role. Fulfill your position in the body of Christ. And we will each submit to one another in the function of those roles. We will work together with this. We will support each other. We will respect each other. We will encourage each other. That is the work of the Spirit of God. Friends, this is really powerful. We really, each of us, grab hold of walking with wisdom, yielding ourselves to the Spirit, cutting loose everything else, verbally, with encouragement, with worship, and with strength in our inner man or inner woman. Friends, what will God do? He got 12 men. Jesus got 12 men and turned the world upside down. What can God do with, what is there, 60 people here, 70 people? Plus the 100 people. As we partner together. Yesterday, there were 10 plus churches doing an event for over 600 women that allowed for 200 women to come to Christ. That's the functioning body at large. What are we doing? Show us, Father, how to be Spirit-filled. Any of you wear gloves consistently? On the dash on older cars, there's this compartment. It's called a glove box. You know why it's called a glove box? Because you had to wear gloves in the old days to start the car. You had to get out and car. And you got hands dirty. Exactly what it's for, but it sounded good. Well, gloves are, there's different types of gloves, right? The gloves we use for cold weather, Winston or Canada. Because our cold weather is what? Maybe, for it's below zero. You have gloves that electricians wear so they don't get electrocuted. You have gloves that gardeners wear. You have all kinds of gloves. But in and of themselves, gloves have no life. They just lay there until somebody picks them up, right? And then they're not good enough until you put your whole hand in, right? And then they risk, right? And then they go about its function. The glove can never brag. You see what I did? You see what I made? No. The Holy Spirit is the hand. You and I are the glove. Spirit in us that accomplishes great things and does the work that the gloves are designed for. So you and I have been designed with a purpose by God. And the Spirit fills us as we have confessed our sins. We have gone out and we are consistently filled. We're consistently walking with God. We're turning from our sin. We're yielding ourselves to Him. The Spirit of God fills us. And off to the hand of God so that He might use you for His glory. And that the work you do will be effective and impactful in people's lives. Because simply living for pleasure and for to get to retirement is not enough. We must live for the glory of God to impact people's lives. Now, let's not get caught up in what kind of glove we are. Let's focus on letting the Spirit of God dominate. Father, we thank you today for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Help us to come to drink of the Spirit fully, Lord. We thank you now for your faithfulness. We thank you now for your provisions. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you, Father, for all that are here today, that we might walk in unity. We thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.